For years now, immigration has been the focus of populist political movements across the West, from Trump's America to Farage's Reform in the UK and Pauline Hanson's One Nation here in Australia. Now this vexed debate is coming to a head in the landlocked European nation of Switzerland, where citizens will vote this weekend on a proposal to cap the country's population at 10 million until 2050. It's a proposal without real precedent anywhere in the world. But as the day approaches, the polls remain tight. So is this Switzerland's Brexit moment? Mercedes Ruhl is the Switzerland and Austria correspondent for the Financial Times, formerly a journo here in Australia. Good to talk to you, Mercedes. For those not familiar with the Swiss political system, these votes on policy occur really regularly, don't they? Can you explain how it works?
Hello, thanks for having me. That's right. It's a Swiss system that is called it's called direct democracy, which means it allows basically the people a greater say in parliament decisions, and they can even propose their own initiatives that can become law or put into the constitution if they gather enough signatures. So in this case, with this 10 million cap, someone had to gather about 100,000 signatures, and then they can force the entire country to vote on it.
And so what are the details of this specific proposal to cap the population at 10 million?
So as you say, the anti-immigration sentiment isn't exactly exclusive to Switzerland, but this system does mean, I suppose, that it sticks out a bit because, you know, if you could cast a ballot in somewhere like Germany or the US, you would probably get similar results, but Switzerland, as I said, sticks out. So this one, and it's kind of worth noting that immigration has been on the ballot and been the topic of a number of initiatives going back to the 60s and 70s. But this one is truly one of the most extreme, and I think for that reason getting so much attention. In simple terms, the population now is about 9.1 million. And this initiative, which is backed by the far right party, has not proposed a kind of, it's not like they're saying that, you know, they want a detailed quota system or an immigration target. So what it is, it's a constitutional trigger mechanism that will force the government to act once certain population thresholds are reached. For example, at 9.5 million, the Federal Council, which is the executive branch, would have to introduce measures to slow population growth, starting in asylum and family reunification, for example.
So you mentioned there a little about who was backing this proposal, who came up with the idea. Tell us a bit about them and how much influence they have inside the National Council.
So the SVP, which SVP, it's called here, but it's called the Swiss People's Party. It's sometimes known as a right-wing party, sometimes it's known as the far right. There are different parts within the party that are kind of more extreme than others. But this is the party that has backed and come up with a number of these kind of immigration-related initiatives in the past. This party is the most powerful, you could argue, in the Swiss system. They have the most seats in parliament, and they have quite a lot of support, much like the far right in large parts of Europe.
This is I'll get into the pros and cons, the people, you know, who are in favour of it, those who are not, in just a moment. But I want to know how this would impact Switzerland's agreement as part of the EU, allowing free movement of people. This would be a flow-on impact, wouldn't it? And how would that upset the apple cart?
Well, I think there are parts of the right wing that are hoping it does. In simple terms, it really does collide with Switzerland's economic relationship with the EU. Its biggest trading partner is the EU. It really will put at risk things like, first of all, it will strain relationships with Brussels, which has happened in the past, but it will also threaten a lot of agreements like freedom of movement that Switzerland has signed up to as part of its kind of crisscrossing bilateral agreements with the EU that have, you know, been created over the years.
All right, tell us now how the electorate is feeling, those that are for and those that are against. Let's start with those in favour of this proposal.
Yeah, it's a question I ask a lot of people in Switzerland, from people on the train to in hotels to in business. And I have been struck, not surprised maybe, but struck by how many people are openly saying they don't like this, the kind of rigid nature of this proposal, but they feel like they need to send a message to the government. And I wonder, while the polls are neck and neck, I do wonder if it's a situation like with Trump's election, with Brexit, if this is a situation where people are actually not saying that they're going to vote for this and they in fact will, which is kind of what led to such surprises with Brexit and Trump.
Mm. This is interesting also because there's a tension in the air, generally speaking, across Europe, the USA, we're starting to feel it here, where whatever people's grievances are directed through this funnel. So if people are feeling economic hardship or if they're feeling, you know, the pressures of infrastructure or lack of, it then is somehow swayed back to this argument of immigration. Mm. Is that the same sort of sense you're getting there?
It's true. I think what's so interesting about this is, you know, there's the base of fears about foreigners and over and mass migration, right? But it's been a really clever campaign by the far right. And they needed a strong campaign to sell kind of what sounds like almost dystopian idea to what is largely still a very pragmatic, business-friendly nation, right? I think it's not just the kind of traditional anti-immigration sentiment that they've tapped into, but they've also captured people's imaginations a bit with this kind of welding together of fears about infrastructure, access to housing. I mean, as someone who has tried to find somewhere to live in Zurich, I can understand it. It is an incredibly tight housing market, both for renting and for buying. And that's not just Zurich, that's many other parts of Switzerland as well, Geneva, Bern. So they've tapped into that. Then they've also kind of brought in a little bit of environmental concerns about, you know, this beautiful alpine country, you know, with grass stretched over it, this sense that, you know, it's all going to be paved over to make way for too much migration. So it's been this incredibly well-run campaign.
And so those who are against it, are they a little afraid to speak out, given this is the narrative that has kind of taken hold across so many places?
I think it's hard to speak out because the people who even are against it, and they're largely against it because it's rigid, it doesn't make sense, and it threatens the relationship with the EU, which, you know, like it or dislike it, the EU is Switzerland's neighbour. We're surrounded by European countries. I think the issue is that they understand it. They also feel these kind of pressures that have been highlighted and amplified by this campaign. So I don't think it's that they're embarrassed, but I think there's also a bit of disappointment that the government response by lawmakers, but also the executive branch known as the Federal Council, that there hasn't been a better, more comprehensive response about what kind of immigration model Switzerland might want, what might work better, or what they could do that could make a difference and kind of help some of these concerns. And I think that's why the no vote campaign has been a little bit weaker.
So Mercedes, what has been the reaction in wider Europe, particularly with the near neighbours of Switzerland? Have they had much to say?
I think there's been a bit of a wait and see approach to what happens after the vote, basically after the ballot takes place. So I think it's also worth and relevant to look back at history on this one. I mean, for instance, some of these initiatives, immigration initiatives, as I mentioned, have passed. So take 2014, the SVP launched an initiative that was called the Against Mass Immigration Initiative. What happened was the vote passed, I think, with about just slightly, I think 50.3% of the vote, and it had basically called for quotas on immigration, including from the EU. And that Switzerland was supposed to renegotiate free movement with the EU. If you aren't aware that EU citizens can kind of work and come to live in Switzerland with relative ease. So the EU refused to reopen the principle of free movement and made it quite clear that access to the single market and other bilateral agreements depended on it. Switzerland spent years trying to find a compromise. In the end, it was a much softer version of what had been the yes vote had asked for. But you saw it really strain relations with Brussels for a few years. And I think that is what you would see here as well. So it kind of provides a nice historic parallel. And I really do think, given Switzerland is in the process of updating its relationship with the EU at the moment, this could be very difficult if there's a yes vote.
Mm. I guess also we should paint a bit of a picture here so people can have in their minds what we're talking about. Where do most migrants come from that are moving into Switzerland?
The high amount of foreigners living and working in Switzerland. It's a small open economy. It's been successful because of its foreign workers in particular. It's if you look around, and you know, I sit in Zurich, you will see that most of the immigration here is actually from Europe. So it's the French, it's the Germans, it's Austrians, it's Italians. There's four official languages here, but the main ones you find are French, German, and Italian. And so it's kind of quite an easy place for large parts of Europe to come and work. They earn much more here than they can often in their home countries. It's a great quality of life. So this is why, this is not to say that you don't also see migration from countries like Africa and the Middle East, of course, but you will see much more EU, as opposed to say what you see in Germany with kind of Turkey, Syria, Austria, similar. So it's very different.
Mm. So with a few days to go, where are the polls at?
Neck and neck. I mean, I think it's going to be tight. There was a poll last week, which it suggested that the no vote had gained ground. I think people really freaked out. About a month to go, the kind of firing gun on the campaign, there was one that said 52% of the population supported it. That has come back. And I think now the majority are saying, the very thin majority are saying that they won't support it. But again, I mean, this is the thing, like with Brexit and Trump, like I mentioned before, I think there's a large lot of people who in polls kind of it might not be the most accurate picture because people aren't willing to say they're going to vote yes for this.
For sure. And so as the campaigning kind of builds to this crescendo, what does it look like on the street?
Well, it's a funny thing, Switzerland, because you look at what happened with Brexit, what happened with Trump. I mean, it's all anyone could talk about. And in many ways, you kind of saw countries kind of ripping themselves apart and the yes versus no. But Switzerland's so used to voting and so used to voting on very contentious things. You know, even kind of at the very, very local level in some cantons, seeing how your neighbor votes because they do it by a show of hands still in some cantons. Life kind of goes on. It's definitely a huge topic, but it's not, I think, so kind of vicious and contentious like you see in other countries. That said, there is still, a sense of anxiety amongst people. There was a knife attack in a city not far from Zurich by a man with ties to Islamist groups recently. You know, police called it a terrorist incident. This might sway some voters. So it is still febrile, but it is not kind of the same situation I think you saw with Brexit in the UK.
Could you see it working here?
No, it's a very good question. It's one I get asked. It's one I get asked by French nationals, by German nationals. I think it's difficult, however, I think there was a Swiss person involved with running Australia. I mean, that's why you still see the double majority and the and certain things like the referendum in Australia too. Could it work? Maybe. I think you still have to grow up with it and for it to run deep in the DNA of a country. I think it it would be difficult.
Yeah, and the bigger a population gets, the more difficult these things become. Mercedes Ruhl, correspondent for Switzerland and Austria with the Financial Times, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.